It's Adeja Adeboale, it's Nielsen Starter Sports, and it's still the best show. I'm back with the gang. I have Oracle Kachi with me. Although he has been dethroned, he's no longer the Oracle. She is the new Oracle. And of course, I have Olale with me. And airing live on a band radio scope, of course, on your Apple Podcast and Spotify. Listen to us, watch us on YouTube as well. And follow us on our social media handles, News Instanta 1 on Twitter, News Instanta _ on Instagram. I don't even want to introduce my analyst today. I've mentioned Kachi already, I've mentioned Shea, I've mentioned Awale. So I'm just going to jump straight into the world of football. Chelsea are perceived to be the victims. I've never seen the victim being the oppressor before, but on Sunday, we saw that. Olale, I'm going to start with you, and we're going to be jumping straight into the NBA. I should not start with Olale. I should start with Kachi on this one. Kachi, Antonio Davis. Is there a probability he's going to be fit for? I know you're going to harass me for the playoffs. I'm not scared of you, Kachi. You can't be scaring me.
Viewers and listeners, always a pleasure being here. This question really tickles me. It's really irking because Anthony Davis has proven that he's not self-motivated. And I remember when we were talking, we were discussing this during our production call, I blatantly told you, and I'm going to reiterate it here, even though Olawale has a contrasting opinion, that I don't think, this is a hot take, guys, hot take. I do not think the Lakers will even make it to the play-in. And I support Stephen A. Smith in saying by the end of April, LeBron would put it down and close shop for the year. But even if they do, a healthy Anthony Davis does not look like he's going to be advantageous to the Lakers. Why? Because he's just one disaster away. AD had 82 games to prove his mettle. Last season, this season, it's like repeating the same story. A young man who has sat 3 years with arguably the greatest player to play the sport. Watch how this guy takes care of his body and never took anything from that young man or that old man called Anthony Davis, LeBron James. So even if the Lakers make the play and ultimately make the playoffs, I personally think that because they will be one and done in the playoff, it's probably best that Anthony Davis closes shop and let's see what other alternatives the Lakers have. They've been pretty much inconsistent. I know you want me to give you a good, AD is going to come back and he's going to play the center position or play the small forward. I personally do not even expect him to come back. I think the season is done for AD. But even if it does, it will not make this Lakers team better. They are playing based on past glory and reputation only, and they are not working hard. That is why a LeBron James that would elevate the team around him has struggled heavily to do the same for this current Lakers team. AD, with or without, will not make any difference. But to answer your question, I don't expect him to come back.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much for that. Olale. Any dissenting opinion to that? I actually agree with Kachi. And I know we've spoken about this a couple of times and it's a disaster to talk about. But do you have a dissenting opinion to what Kachi said?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Well, I think it will be a bit unfair on part of Anthony Davis probably to call in not self-motivating across different sports. I think injury at times is something that sometimes it's just the nature of your body. It's not something you can probably
control.
It's not something you can probably control. Of course, we know there are some iron men like Ibrahimovic who has probably worked extra hard on their body. But notwithstanding, there are still some players who probably just do the normal thing. They don't do the extraordinary.
They had a
pretty successful career, or let me say at least injury-free career. So I think this injury, I don't think it's a self-inflicted injury. I think it's just something probably that just has to do with his body anatomy. So I think we have to give him that benefit of doubt. Is he as whether he's motivated as Dem LeBron or not? That I think it's another question entirely. But I don't think probably motivation is self-motivation has something directly to do with the injury that he's currently suffering. The Lakers are going to make the play-in because I think what do you call it? The Portland Trail Blazers are far behind them.
Yeah.
Whether they are going to progress into the playoff proper is a question I can't answer, but I think they are going to make the play-in.
They are going to be in the play-in, and the play-in is going to be four. The Lakers, according to Olawale, and I believe Kachi actually do agree with that as well. Anyways, moving to other things, Olawale, I'm going to stay with you. it was a direct swap. Just so you know, James Harden has moved to I think number three, best 3-pointer of all times in the NBA, which I feel definitely before the end of his career is going to be a number two. It definitely cannot move past Steph Curry. I believe we all agree on that. And he moved to the 76ers, and they played against the Nets. And the Nets blew them away. It was more or less like a revenge battle that we got Ben Simmons. Now we want to do more mess to your face. Olawale, your thought. Olawale, your thought. Yeah.
My take after the whole game is actually this. I think it was a game with a playoff intensity. It was a game that had a lot of stories behind, a lot of beefs, agenda. I think the Nets showed up and they showed how dangerous they could be as a team.
Hmm.
And on their own day, if fully fit, if fully available, they are ready to match against. They are ready to match up against anything. And for the Sixers, I think probably majority of their top players, except Joel Embiid, had a bad game. I don't want to overreact to. Although I expected James Harden to be better than what I saw on the night, but I don't want to overreact to the fact that a shrink in most big games or this like that. Fine, I think it should have been better on the day, but it didn't show up. Joel Embiid was the only one that had a decent game. Even Maxi and the other guys, Tobias Harris, most of them didn't show up. So it's a good morale booster win for the Brooklyn Nets.
Uh-huh.
And for the Brooklyn Nets, it wasn't like probably KD had a 40-point game. It was more of a KD 25, I think Kyrie 22, Seth Curry 24. So I think if the Brooklyn Nets are lucky to have the vaccine mandate lifted in New York, even though they might not, I don't see how they will finish. I think the best they can get is the seventh seed, but notwithstanding, they are going to be a problem for most teams.
For
most teams. Let me just leave it like that.
All right, Kachi, do you have anything to add to it? The way the Nets actually did blow them out in the long run.
Yes, a couple of things. The first was confirming or reaffirming what I thought about Ben Simmons. The fact that I think there's still a mental or psychological block to face. That day was deemed Ben Simmons Day in Philadelphia. And even during from the warm-ups to the game itself, it was a cacophony of boos coming his way.
Yeah.
It looked like he wanted the ground to open up, but kudos to the rest of his teammates for shutting down that crowd as early as the second half or the second quarter. from Monster Daggers by Seth Curry and by KD. But the second thing was, you can take James Harden from OKC to Houston, from Houston to Brooklyn, from Brooklyn to Philadelphia. But what you cannot dispute is when the big game comes, James Harden always folds. He's a talented regular season player. Talented. I mean, he's won MVP. But when the game, when push comes to shove, even in the regular season, that was a game that we expected key protagonists to come out and show out, especially those who were playing. We knew Ben Simmons was not going to play. But it was a game we expected James Harden to come out and show out like KD did, like Seth. Don't forget, Seth Curry was also part of this trade.
Of course.
The young man dropped 24 on his former team. James Harden dropped 11 points. Yes, it was the same night he passed Reggie Miller as the third best. Mm-hmm. But he dropped a measly 11 points. It tells me that he still cannot handle the pressure. He cannot be the number one in any team. It was two things I've always suspected, and it was two things that were confirmed on the night. But every other thing Olawale said, the Nets are going to be a problem. They are not the ideal first-round team. If you want to
play
if you want to play them in the second round or in the conference finals. Because at that point, because of where they are, they'll most likely get only three home games. And if you can split one of their one game in Brooklyn and win three games in your own home, even though you would have four, then you stand your chances. But the Nets will be a problem.
All right. Perfect. Thank you very much for that. And Kati, before you go, I just want to ask you a question. How come Russ Westbrook is more than LeBron?
I don't know how that contract was done. I think it's just the particular contract here. LeBron earned the bulk of his money in the first 2 years of his contract. So it's not necessarily that he's earning more than LeBron.
Hold on.
Let Kachi finish first. Thank you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You don't have to look at it in a single year. You have to look at the terms and the length of the contract.
Of the contract itself. Okay.
And also, I think LeBron being a businessman, there are a few things we probably don't know. I personally think he wants to stay and plant his roots in LA. And part of planting his roots will mean probably getting one or two basis points of the Lakers franchise and keeping it on the down low. I'm not saying that's what the case is. We'll get to know this in the future.
Okay.
But you can't look at it in a single year. You have to look at the entirety of the contract.
Okay.
When you look at it that way, definitely Russ did not earn more than
all right.
You know, the NBA, just like most American sports, is a franchise sport. And it's a collective bargaining type of contract. Russell Westbrook contract. The Russell Westbrook contract was actually signed when he was in OKC, which he was going to end very well in
the bulk in
fourth and the fifth
fourth,
year.
Fifth year.
In the fourth and the fifth year.
So it was translated to the Lakers.
Yeah, the Houston Rockets inherited it. Mm-hmm. I think then the Washington Wizards inherited it. When you are traded from one team to another, whatever you are earning from that team is what you
subsidy.
All right.
Makes 100%. Thank you. Just look at the offensive leaders board right now. Still being led by LeBron. Closely followed by Giannis and Joel Embiid. The Maderozzi on fourth, and on the defensive side we have Rudy Gobert and of course Nikola Jokic and Domantas, and of course on the assist board Chris Paul is leading right now, closely followed by James Harden and of course Trae Young. Now moving to the world of tennis, Nadal is pulling out of the Miami Open. It was relax before the favorite French Open starts. I guess that's the scope behind it. And of course, he's the favorite, and we're looking forward to it. We know he's going to probably win, and we're looking forward to it as well. And of course, Novak Djokovic is struggling to get a tournament right now, but he will be featuring at Monte Carlo later this week, which is a good one for him to get a good mat practice before we go into the French Open. That's if he's going to participate in anyways, depending on what the vaccination rule looks like in France. Probably not, but hopefully it might be lucky. And Olale, I'm going to come to you on this one. So Naomi Campbell was being harassed, like he could.
Naomi Osaka, sorry.
Did I say Campbell?
We know where your heart lies.
Naomi Osaka, sorry about that.
Exactly.
Of course, she was being assaulted, and she was being jailed. She felt terrible and lost the game in a straight set. And I'm looking at it in construct. I'm looking at it in hindsight. We had the same issue where she said she needed to attend to her mental health sometime last year, where people felt she was not being herself, that it's something that she could handle. Some were like, okay, this is a bad thing that should be taken up. And in construct, I'm looking at other tennis players. Don't let me even say other tennis players. I'm looking at someone like Serena and Venus that face more horrendous bias against them, and in a sharp construct. But in the eyesight, what do you think the ATP or WTP should be doing to avert this kind of situation in the nearest future? Especially for the fans, they are there to enjoy the match, not to ask for the players.
You can't stop the fans from booing whoever they want to boo.
Exactly,
that's their right. When you make a choice to be a sports star, you have to be prepared for everything, and that's why that's one thing I like about some the basketball players. Except you racially abuse them, by that court side, if you say anything to them, they would trash talk you immediately.
They will respond.
They will let you know. KD will not allow you to get away with it. Not even on Twitter. That's why people even condemn you. Like, why do you respond to an ordinary fan? I think she has to. And surprisingly, India. It was India. Was it? I think India Wells.
Indiana Wells.
Yeah, we are Indiana Wells. I think Indiana Wells, which is in the United States. It's something she has to deal with. What's the name of this Russian guy that played at the this team? Medvedev. I think he had similar issues with the crowd in Australia. It's something as a star you have to deal with. As long as he doesn't have a ratio on that too in their this thing, you can't stop the spectators, the fans, from booing whoever they want to boo.
No, it wasn't just a bull. It's anyways. Okay, fine.
I
fair
agree.
Enough.
I totally
fair enough.
Agree with what fair enough. With what Olawale has said. They are paying fans. They are the reason why the sport is popular. They are there to watch their favorite play. It's if you are not their favorites, then so be it.
Exactly.
Their freedom, they have the freedom to express themselves. Like Olale said, they did not cross the line by racially abusing or threatening her life. Her safety was not in danger. I read the article, and what the fans said was, Naomi, you suck. That was all. And Naomi came out to say after the game when she lost, that she was remembering in the same Indian Wells that Serena and Venus had both been heckled. And when that incident happened, that was what she was reliving and replaying in her mind, remembering that Serena and Venus had been heckled in the same Indian Wells ground, that was why she lost her concentration. I'm not going to hit or beat on someone who is lying now. It's someone who is already on the ground. All I will say is she needs to toughen up, because this game, you will not be everyone's favorite. You cannot. As much as I accept I accept the greatness of Novak Djokovic and the fact that he roots for a football club dear to my heart. I still choose Nadal over him. I'm just basically saying I have a favorite. I have a favorite player, both male and female, in any sport. And if I was a paying fan, I would do everything within the rules to make sure that my team or player I'm rooting for wins a game or a tournament. And as long as their health or safety is not threatened, please don't ask us what the ATP or WTA can do to prevent that. I want that in the field. I want that when tournaments are being played. We want the fans
to be involved in the game.
We're not watching golf. Okay. It's not golf.
Okay. Right? Fair enough. I disagree with you anyway. I disagree with you both. I think abuse, whether emotional, physical, should be curbed. If not entirely eradicated, it should be curbed. And that's why I feel. But it's my opinion, which differs from yours. And of course, Alexander Zverev has been placed on a 1-year probation for his last outburst. And now, if he should do anything, he could be thrown out of further tournaments in the future. Like I said before, Roger Federer is not going to be playing until later in the summer in any tournament. I wonder why he is not retired yet. And of course, Andy Murray played his 1-in-700 game. Shehi reminded me of that. I don't know. I like Andy Murray, but there's always this overhype with British players. And in the Formula One, Tachi, I want to come to you. Formula One is going to be starting in another 2 weeks. A lot of tournaments lined up in the Formula One. What are we expecting? It's still basically going to be the usual suspects. Do we have someone that will speak up any kind of surprise this year?
The Formula One revs up with the Bahrain Open in 2 weeks. But to your point, it's still going to be between the two leading manufacturers, Red Bull and Mercedes. I guess what gives Red Bull a slight advantage is that they retain the two drivers from their championship winning.
Controversial.
Yes, I have to admit, it's controversial based on what we've seen happen. Sergio Perez and Max Verstappen will retain their seats in Red Bull, while in Mercedes, Lewis Hamilton returns on a quest for his 8th and record-breaking championship, but will now be accompanied by a junior driver in Russell, who was formerly driving for Williams. The famous Iceman has moved to Haas now. I kind of missed his name. Lewis's former teammate. A few other changes also around. And the key one that we should mention is due to the issue happening between Russia and Ukraine, the Russian driver for Haas, Nikita Mazepin, was dropped by Haas. So he lost his seat, not from non-performance, but strictly for purely political reasons. Our hearts to him, because we don't want people to lose their means of livelihood due to matters they cannot control. But Nikita Mazepin lost his seat with Haas. He was replaced by Kevin Magnussen, I believe. So that and all this, we will get to see play out when the first lights out come in 2 weeks. We will give you more detail.
But the last tournament is still going to be in Abu Dhabi. Is that correct?
Oh no, Abu Dhabi always closes it. The only thing is the calendar this year, the Russian Open in Sochi has been removed, so there will be no Formula One in Russia.
In Russia,
there will also be no Formula One Russian participants in Formula One. Even the Russian sponsors were dropped as well. So a lot of pushback from the global world.
Oh, nice. What's an hypocritical world we live in? What an hypocritical world we live in? Where people are not, they can't talk about politics. Ozil was dropped by Arsenal because of politics. And suddenly, politics is being flooded. It's the new order of the day in sports. Anyways, we'll talk about that in details when we move to the witch, what I consider a personal witch hunt against Chelsea and Roman Abramovich. Kevin Garnett's number has been retired by the Celtic, which is a good one. The 1976 born player, 21 seasons in the National Basketball Association, which is the NBA. Of course, he has done massively well for the Celtic. Kachi, I don't know if you want to add one or two things before we really go on a quick break.
I just want to say the most popular thing Kevin Garnett is known for: anything is possible. That was exactly what he said when the 2008 Celtics defeated the Lakers to win their championship. Garnett, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen, the young Rajon Rondo, forever etched in the history of the Celtics. I think it's very well deserved. We celebrate his career, and I wish him the very best with what he's going to do next.
Which is nice. NBA draft in 1995, first round, the fifth pick. Not a bad one for.
And
for,
now for that him. Is who Anthony Davis should look like.
Kachi, I don't want to have a dissenting opinion from.
I just have to say that.
From Olawale, but. We both know that Anthony David is not made for sports. That's the truth. He's talented, but if you can't keep yourself fit, you're not made for the
21 seasons. I don't even think AD can last up to 21 seasons in sports.
How?
He can't. Big credit to KG. I totally enjoyed him, even from the Timberwolves to the Celtics. Was fully enjoyable, even when it went into movies. Uncut Gems was
so. Even when he moved to movies, it did well. Anyway, Sheyi, I'm gonna come straight to you right now for the Ballon d'Or new criteria. Looks like the wool have been pulled from the eye of the organizers of the award, and they are looking to rejig it after so much. Controversial awards in the past couple of years, with Lewandowski being the biggest victim of it. Sheyi, how do you think this will bring a new light, or is just another way to just gaslight us and tell us there are changes, but definitely we'll still see the same results?
Okay, thank you, Debo. I really don't think there's a big difference in that criteria in the first place. Major difference is probably the they've changed
the calendar,
the calendar year from January to December to
August.
Like a
full season.
What's it called? Full season criteria at this moment. But the same criteria still exists in terms of the class of the footballer, the individual accolades, and also the collective ones, and probably the class of the type of player. And for me, I think bringing this to light at the twilight, or probably the end of the career of the likes of Messi and Ronaldo, just signifies that they've really adjusted the criteria over the years to suit those two players. I don't want to be really biased in my statement. That's why I'm actually basically mentioning the two players, because I believe there was a year also that I think someone else should have won it and Ronaldo won it. A lot of years that someone else should have won it and Messi won it. So that is what we've seen over the years. Also, the criteria was recently really shared with us. I mean, the populace in the last, I think, the last 2 years. And over the last two decades, we've not really known what the criteria.
Where.
And a lot of times that we thought the likes of fantastic footballers like Thierry Henry should have at least won the Ballon d'Or, if not the FIFA best. but they never won it. I think Schneider at a point also. Quite a lot of fantastic players that had good seasons. And so for France football to come out this time around and now tell us they've adjusted the criteria to a seasonal calendar. Well, I think this time around we might get the real Ballon d'Or winners. That is the only thing I can say from that particular decision from France football.
All right, thank you very much, Olali. I'm going to come to you. Dropping the list of 50 countries on the rankings from voting. Do you think that is a kind of disenfranchisement on the part of FFF?
Sorry, can you just
like dropping the least 50 top ranking countries? So if you are bottom 50, your captain would not have chance to vote for a Ballon d'Or winner. Because maybe they believe those people don't understand football enough.
I believe guys don't have football enough. That's just the message now. There's nothing to...
Do you think it's a form of disenfranchisement or this should not be part of the change?
Well, if it is the 50, it's a bit controversial because for the fact that a country... Let me say, for the fact that a country is rated or ranked among the 50 least countries in terms of footballing abilities in the world might not necessarily mean that they don't understand the game itself.
Yeah.
It's the ability to play and understanding the game is quite different. A lot of very good analysts you have when it comes to different sports, if you are very poor when it comes to playing the game itself. So I think it doesn't make sense. It's like you are discriminating against some certain set of countries. By the time you look at those countries, majorly where they will come from, probably Asia and probably some part of Africa.
Africa, of course.
So but I don't think it makes sense. If you are allowing captains of national teams to vote, there is no need for you to exclude because even rankings at times is subjective. At times, you see the ranking and you see some countries in some certain position, you feel like, who is doing this? So I don't think it makes sense. They are just trying to... I think they know they messed up in the last 2 years, majorly. They knew that they actually messed up. I think all this is just trying to buy back some kind of integrity and what do you call it?
All right, perfect. Thank you very much for that. Katia, I don't know if you wanted to add something to that.
Nothing really. I guess the only thing I wanted to add, I would like to add is, yes, they said they want the top 100 ranked nations to have their representatives vote. But top 100 as at which date? Let's not forget that these numbers,
they
vacillate from month to month. So when a month before the ballots go out, I'm ranked 99, and then the period to vote, I'm now ranked 101. Does that immediately mean that I stopped all the knowledge I have about football technically and factually?
They are lost in 1 month.
Yeah, so it's a big case of us disenfranchising nations, which I'm not up for. But like Olawale said, it's just a safe face tactic by the French football organizers. And the thing about saving faces, every attempt you make to save your face ends up exposing you more and more. And that is what I think this new criteria has done. First, it has come out to confirm that the last three editions were heavily subjective and influenced. And second, even the ways they are going about ameliorating their errors has not been the best.
All right, perfect. Kachi, I'm going to stay with you. Don't go anywhere yet. I'm still going to stay with you and straight jump into the Chelsea predicament. I'm not happy about. I have a mixed feeling about it, and I keep telling everybody that yesterday since Abramovich bought the money, Arsenal has managed to win a grand total zero of zero trophies in terms of the Premier League.
Zero Premier League.
Trophy. Premier League. grand total of zero Premier League trophy, which of course changed everything. But then and again, it's unacceptable if it looks as if all the sanctions against Chelsea it's subjective. And foremost about it is the fact that now they can't spend more than £20,000 on their travels. Mm-hmm. They can't spend more than £500,000 at home.
On home games,
which includes catering for the waiting, for themselves, you know, preparing the fans and the rest. Even the fans can't go into what the games was, less a ticket, a season ticket holder. And it looks like they, like Peter Cech said today, they are not even sure Chelsea will be able to finish the season if things continue this way. They can't do any contract extension. They can't sign more players. A lot of things. And I'm beginning to wonder, this Chelsea is a billion pound company. And shouldn't, even if for the life of me, even if Abramovich is the one bombing Ukraine, shouldn't an entity like Chelsea be left out to be run safely, at least for now, till the end of the season? It looks like there's a personal vendetta against Chelsea, not even Roman Abramovich right now, against Chelsea itself.
Listeners and viewers, 2 weeks ago, remember when I told you that the bulk of the members of Parliament, British Parliament, are closeted Arsenal fans. You all laughed at me and thought it was just the regular catches jokes. But it's beginning to come up. But on a more serious note, I don't think it's a vendetta against Chelsea. I think it's a vendetta against Roman Abramovich, but they are using his most beloved asset to get to him. It's pretty much like when you're fighting in boxing and you are losing the fight and you feel, okay, I'm going to lose anyway, but I'm going to punch below the belt. These recent rules, regulations, saying they disqualified Abramovich, putting financial limits on them, it's not, ultimately, Chelsea season ticket holders are there. They bought this ticket even before the season. In fact, I don't even think there are tickets available for the next 2 seasons. Let me put it that way, for the season ticket holders. They will be secure in that way. Whatever Peter Cech is saying is just, yes, to drum up sympathy. What these people are really doing is to snag ownership of what has become one of the biggest faces and the success stories of English football and bring it into an English hand. Okay. That's what they want to do. You know, how can the most successful and the most successful period in an English football's history be the period when a non-English, probably communist in nature, is the one in charge of it? So it reeks, yes, of hypocrisy. It reeks of a personal vendetta, but I don't think it's against the club, Chelsea. I think it's against the owners. And I feel really bad for the club because they're right now at the business end of the season. They're still competing on three other fronts. I don't know the mental fortitude of the players. If it was before now, with a Jose Mourinho, who is able to shield his players from outside influences or outside noise, I would have said, okay, the players are isolated and protected. But I really don't know how the players themselves are taking this now. It may affect how Chelsea ends up or where they end up in the season. But to come back to your point, this is not against Chelsea. This is against the owner. But they are just using what is very dear to the owner against them. And let's not forget that I've also read in the news that this is on the backdrop of news from Russia that every Western-owned businesses will be nationalized. So yeah. this is purely reprisal attack by the British government saying, if you're going to nationalize BP that is in Russia, then we might as well nationalize this. And the only way they will have legal basis to nationalize it is to by first disqualify the owner, let the club go into administration, and then they take it over. So it's a gradual step we are seeing, but it's a calculated step as well.
All right, Olale, I'm gonna come to you right now. The players cannot sign contract extension right now. So that means even if there is negotiations between them and people like Rudiger that they think could bear fruition at the end of the day, that's off the table. Possibly at a point they might not be able to pay wages again. Possibly at a point. And at this point, what's amicable solution should the Britons have come up with that is not going to affect, it's going to affect Abramovich being sanctioned. We're taking Chelsea away from you. We're taking this property away from you. This is our country. We want it. It's a British, or it's a London-based club for that matter. We're taking it all for you, but it's not going to affect the club itself in terms of their positioning, what they've done. Because now it's all the glory days could just it could fly off in a second, as far as we know, because this is just a spark of uncertainty wreaking it. So what amicable solution would you have thought that the Britons could have brought up that would not affect Chelsea but affect Abramovich?
One, before probably diving into your question, just a quick thing. When you are in a situation of war, these are the kind of unpleasant things that you see. I would go probably for that like Kachi said, I don't think it's an attack on Chelsea. I don't even think it's an attack on Roman Abramovich. It's an attack on the close allies of the Russian president, because Roman Abramovich is not the only Russian person that is being sanctioned. It is only popular among we sport fans because that is the area we have interest in.
I will beg to differ on that. Just for one second, I will beg to differ on that. This man has been banned from entering UK since 2017. Was there war in 2017? Quiet, please.
There has always been a silent war. He has a reason why he took over. He went for what do you call it?
Israeli
citizenship. And we know the story of his former business partner, who was a big critic of Putin. What's his name? Belozovsky. Who was probably killed in some manners that is still very suspicious. Yes, Roman might not have a direct hand in it, but of course, a lot of people are not convinced about not probably having information about that event happening. So, going back to my listing, I believe it is not an attack on Abramovich. It's not an attack on Chelsea. It's an attack on what do you call it? Now, what is the way forward? I think the British are too smart and too smart to allow the club to die off. Initially, when the old sanction started, it was like they won't be able to sell the club. 48 hours later, in the early hours of Saturday, there were information that the process of selling the club is back in what do you call it? Of course, it was going to sell the club. The club will continue to. In fact, the club is operating on a special license. Ideally, if they want to do it in a proper way, the club will not even be able to play matches as it stands. I think a lot of things, common sense will prevail at the end of the day. A lot of interest is at stake. A lot of people who are, Chelsea is an institution that has been existing before Roman Abramovich. It will exist after Roman Abramovich. I don't think they will allow that kind of club to just die down like that. A new owner will take over, probably at a cut down price.
Whichever it is,
I think the old thing, Chelsea will not go into administration. They will get a new owner probably in the next 3 or 1 month.
All right, perfect. I hope that will happen. And I'm wondering how they would tell someone. And I'm pretty sure because you're an accountant, and Kachi is as well, and Sheyi is a bid analyst as well. So you guys understand the process. How you get a deal of £1.5 billion over the line within 1 week. I wonder how.
No. They're not giving them 1 week. 1 week for bidding, for the bidding.
Oh, one week for the open bid. Okay. All right. Okay. Perfect. They've given them an extension. Okay. Perfect. Sheyi, yes. I'm gonna come to you right now, and sports reeks of hypocrisy. And I'm saying this in tandem to what we've seen in recent past. Everybody keep talking about the fact that Ozil was chased out of Arsenal because he supported the Muslims in Hugi. I remember a time when Ferdi Kanute was fined because he supported people in Palestine. I've seen so many issues where the stand of sport is not bring politics into it. But now we don't even have sport again. We have politics in sports. Kachi rightly said the other time, Russian drivers have been dropped from Formula One. Russia has been kicked out of the FIFA competition and UEFA competitions. These, you can't even be their sponsor, which is fine. But at what point? So going forward, should we be of the understanding now that sport is politics? Or we should keep deceiving ourselves and tell us ourselves is separate? Che. I know I'm asking you the hardest question. I'm sorry about that.
To be sincere, that's the hardest question. I'll just take this from my point of view and also from what I've seen in history over the years. When we talk about war, everything is different. I don't think there was any World Cup during the Second World War. In fact, Wembley Stadium, I think, was bombed during the World War. Old Trafford was partially wrecked during the World War. So what we are experiencing right now is something we've not seen for the last maybe like 80 years. Hmm. And Debo, the whole world is trying to avert a total war. That is why politics has entered into sports.
Wow.
That's why I said I really don't want to discuss this because we are somehow discussing politics already.
Is it good, unfortunately? We can't separate it again.
Yeah. Right now, because if the West have denied, decided not to really do what they're supposed to do for Ukraine, and they've decided that the only battle they want to fight now is commercial. Football is commercial, right? Sport is commercial. We want 100%. To make money. Russian has been cut out of global, payment system.
Yeah.
So everything has entered really into sports because sport is part of commercial, and that is what we are seeing at the moment.
Okay,
it's so, it's totally unfortunate.
Before I go to Olawale,
let me tell you what you want to hear.
Wait, I think this is the case.
I know what you want to hear.
I want to answer the second question before I come to Yolawale. Going forward, we should know sports and politics are pari passu, right? Or this is just an exception?
What I think is this is an exception. Okay. Everybody wants to avoid.
Okay.
They want to avoid the explosion of the situation going on at the moment. Right. And they are using sport as an additional tool to send a message to Russia.
Okay. All right, perfect. Ali, tell me what I want to hear.
I think in this situation, we should be very careful in time in trying to call out the hypocrisy of the Western world. We should be very careful not supporting an unjust cause. That's just my this thing. Okay. Now, like when Shehi said, we've not seen something like this in the last 8 years. Probably we've been saying it, but the Western world didn't see it like that. The invasion of countries like Iraq is as bad as this. But probably the Western world, probably the way it was framed, because at the end of the day, no weapon of mass destruction was found in Iraq. It was just a matter of we want to probably get a rid of this guy.
We're already talking politics.
Yeah, we can't separate.
That's why sports and politics are always linked together.
So now, Olale, so I'm going to ask you together. I ask the same question. Without delving into politics full time, are we now saying, I'm going to come to Kashi as well. Do we have a consensus right now that sports and politics comes pari passu? That's one. And two, should we take this as an exception to the general rule? Or we should be sincere with ourselves and stop being hypocritical
What I'm trying to tell you is this. Unlike the other events that we've seen, mm-hmm. it's a matter of where the interests of the Western world allies with. If their interest allies with the fact that this is like a bad this thing, or what do you call it?
We are
calling out Russia. Yeah. So for that, we could make an exception for it. You understand? But by the time it is not...
But Alali, I want your own opinion.
But generally,
Your own opinion.
No, my own personal, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Over time, I've always tried to separate sport from from politics. But probably it is very difficult because as a sport person, you have a voice, you have the popularity, you have the platform. People will expect you probably to take a position, which probably it's not easy, especially in this kind of world where there is social media. But you might probably get away with it in those in the 80s, 90s. For the sanity of the sporting world, I think we need to separate it. But I don't think realistically you can separate it.
Okay. All right, perfect. Kachi, I'm gonna come to you. Is this a norm now? Anybody that messes up, so tomorrow we should be kicking out Israel from the World Cup. We should kick out probably the US for invading Iraq and Libya or causing, you know, and keep giving the voices to them. People should fly Palestinian flags without being sanctioned like they did to Paul Pogba and Diallo of Manchester United last season, I believe. Should this be the new norm?
It's a very tricky question because it can be interpreted in different ways. Ideally, probably not, because we all want to enjoy sports and enjoy the fact that sports is a unifying factor event we used to enjoy. I'll give you an instance of France 1998 when Iraq faced the United States and, you know, the players hugged it out at the end of the tournament.
Yeah,
that would have been the ideal thing, but what makes it probably likely that this will be the case going forward is because sports is governed by humans and humans have emotions. Sometimes emotions cloud our judgments. Sometimes we wear our emotions on our sleeve. And if there's anything that characterizes the human nature, maybe you black, white, Asian, Hispanic, whatever, is the fact that we make mistakes and we're hypocritical about it. We emphasize the mistake of others and try to hide or downplay our own mistakes, especially. And another thing is that history is usually written by whichever power is dominating at that point. Part of what we understand from history is whichever power conquers another nation, the first thing they do is they destroy the records of that nation and try to write their own history. So, what is happening now is a case of recency bias by the powers that be. The powers that be in this case, I'm talking of Russia, and I'm talking of the West. But to come back to your question, as much as I've tried to dribble all around this, it's a sad reality that even though we would love to separate politics from sports, not just football, as long as we're humans, and the fact that we need businesses owned by politicians to sponsor the major, biggest sporting events, it will be hard to separate.
Nice. I believe we have a consensus then. Sheyi, I'm going to come back to you now. Arguably, the best player that I've ever played football, that I've seen in my life, Lionel Messi. He moved to from Barcelona to PSG. And on Sunday, before the game against Bordeaux, where his name was mentioned along with Neymar, they were booed. Do you think the bullying of Messi is justified right now? Given the expectations were high, should be told.
Debo, anybody that gets booed on that particular day, I think is justified. You should just take it. In fact, to be sincere, if PSG has invested so much in world-class players and they've chased Champions League for
10 years,
how many seasons now that
years?
They've always been having near misses, and this particular season they were able to unveil Messi, arguably the best player to ever play football, as you said. And you just imagine this same team were 2 goals ahead in a game and lost 3-2. They had all the best, to me, they had the best set of players in Europe on that pitch on that day. They had 2 good goals ahead. Talking about experience, Neymar has played the Champions League final how many times? Lionel Messi has won this tournament how many times? Mbappe has won the World Cup and the Euro Cup. For goodness sake, if they boo the coach, in fact, the coach is even the smallest of the issue. So I think if they booed the president on that night, it's actually worth it.
Justified. All right, perfect. Very, very thank you very much, Sheyi, for that. Olale, I'm going to come to you now. And the question still remains the fact that Lionel, for all the good that we've seen, has been unable to, he has not been able to win the Champions League outside Barcelona without Xavi and Iniesta. You know, the only cup that has won with national team, which is the Copa America, even had to be done like
water
four
down.
Times. Like, yeah,
water
like,
down Copa America.
Exactly, Copa America like 4 times in 6 years, just to ensure that he wins something with
water
the national
down
team.
Copa America.
Is it safe to say Messi is a butler? Honestly, it's good.
No, it's not a butler. Like you see, I don't want like what I try to do when I react to sporting events. Uh-huh. I don't probably try to react to a singular event on its own. I would probably like to look at each as in everything holistically. I don't think Messi is a butler. It's not his fault that he played with Xavi and Iniesta. Just like when Piers Morgan was probably making ridicule of David Beckham that he was lucky to play with, blah 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 blah. You know, I think Messi will go down in history for me. When it comes to pure talent, as if not the best, one of the greatest footballer. But when it comes to having the best of careers, in as much as he has a successful career at Barcelona, you could argue probably Ronaldo has a better story. I don't think he's a butler. I just think he's coming towards the end of his career. Messi is not as fast as he was before. I saw some couple of his game. There are some kind of places where you see Messi when he receives the ball. You know the kind of body movement. You could see he has lost that yard of space. Pace is no longer there. And I think the whole PSG team is just overrated. There's a reason why Sheyi and I had to like pick. Like it wasn't just like a pure gamble. Like
choosing Madrid.
I think that team is actually overrated. If you look at it, remove the front three, where is the world class again in the midfield to the defense? Is it Kipampa or what's his name? Or is it the Pardes? Or I think they have an overrated, not too balanced team. And like I've always said over the years, they look like a team without a soul. And I don't think Neymar has actually helped that team because of his actions and inactions outside the pitch. He has not been a good role model. And he has not really even helped himself too. So I don't think it's a matter of Messi being a butler. I just think he found himself in a bad situation. Like I said earlier at the beginning of the season, I said he has more to lose going to PSG than more to gain. And I still stand by that. And which is probably what is playing
now. What we're having right now. All right, perfect. I wanted to ask Kachi. Oh, Kachi's back. Kachi, Cristiano Ronaldo, it looks like we have a goat, at least for this weekend. We have a goat that is not an asshole this weekend. And you look at him, he has managed to be the highest goal scorer in the history of football. Who would have thought 10 years ago, 14 years ago? This guy is just something else, honestly.
807 goals later. The argument continues to linger. And this was done on a day when the goat of another sports, American football, in Tom Brady.
Yeah, came to the Ultra OT. The
theater of dreams to watch Ronaldo do his thing. During our production call, we were, I think it was Shege and I, or Lawale and I can't remember, we're having this discussion. And I said, without a doubt, the best player we've seen, without a doubt, I personally think is Messi. But you can argue that even in the period where Messi was dominant, there is a certain man called Cristiano Ronaldo who did not, just imagine if there was no Ronaldo in Messi's era. 14 Ballon d'Ors. Ronaldo has proven every doubter wrong. So much so that I had Michael Owen.
Teddy Sheringham.
No, I was the analyst who watched the game with Tottenham saying, I think it's settled right now. You don't need Ronaldo in the pressing game. Leave him to do what he does. Every time you write Ronaldo off, all he has done is to prove you wrong.
And over again.
He played for a club very dear to my heart. Well, I won't say very dear, but a club I like in Real Madrid. I thoroughly enjoyed him. He's a goal scoring machine. He's such a hard worker. I remember one of his statements when he was like, all these players you guys are calling at 31, 32, 33, they will be finished. I will not be finished. He's 37 now, I believe.
Yeah.
And he's still doing it. Don't be surprised. He's going to look across the ocean and see that there is a certain Zlatan Ibrahimovic playing well into his 40s, at least getting 5 goals a season, and tell himself, I want to do just that. And everybody has been saying 807. Well, Pele and Romario scored 1,000 goals, even though we know in that 1,000 goals were friendly matches, amateur games, which are not included in Ronaldo's own. But Ronaldo will go ahead and get 1,000 professional goals. Hot take, but give this man 4 more years and he's going to do that. Amazing film, amazing phenomenal achievement by an extremely hardworking guy. And I think we're just blessed to have watched him play live. Really should be thankful for that.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much for that, Bukachi. Ronaldo, 37, 807 goals, doing it and doing it real big. I know people like to talk about Zlatan, but people keep forgetting that Zlatan sometimes goes 1 year without playing football because of injury. Ronaldo is hardly ever injured.
And that's another thing. You have to give kudos to both him and Messi for that. They hardly ever get injured.
Exactly.
They take good care of their bodies. But they also don't cheat the game. They give their very best.
Except Messi knows how to bottle games when he doesn't have Xavi. And
come on. Don't say that.
I'm just being sincere. So many Copa America. So many Champions League games.
You will do the same.
He does not. He's very good at it. The entry against Bayern Munich. Ronaldo will go to another stadium, lose 2-0, go back to Turin and win 3-0. You know, it does not.
It's okay.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much, guys. I'm going to go to a short break right now. When we come back, we'll be jumping into the Premier League and, of course, the review of the Champions League and the preview of the Champions League. Don't go anywhere, guys.